Well, you're all indeed very welcome to our service this evening, and we do trust that the Lord has already been touching your heart through the ministry and song, but equally as important, and maybe not, if not more so, we trust that God will touch your heart through the message tonight. And we are, little title is Welcome to the Church, or we're given a simple little explanation of who or what the church is tonight, and we trust that it will impact your heart. So if you've got a Bible and would like to follow the scripture reading, then I'm inviting you to turn with me to two passages. First of all, in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, we used this in our business meeting the other day just to use it as a little basis for something we said. Matthew chapter 16, and we're reading from verses 15 to verse 19. And then we are also reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And so we're going to read first of all from Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, just to give you a little idea. We whet your appetite for Tuesday night for the, instead of the Bible study, we're going to show the film called Courageous. Now, I know that some of you have already had a wee peek, sneak preview, and you went and got the film and watched it yourself. Naughty, naughty. So you know exactly what it's about. But I'll tell you what's happening. Well, I think that the home, the Christian home in particular, has lost its identity. It's lost its identity. The husband and the father has lost its identity. There's a complete deterioration of what it means to be a husband and a father in a Christian home nowadays. And this film puts the challenge back on us men and husbands. But actually it puts a challenge back on the Christian home, what a Christian home should be. And where the emphasis should lie, and where the significance and the importance ought to be, because the society is only as good as the Christian home. You know that, don't you? And society, I believe, is a reflection of what's going on in the home and in the family. Can I ask you, not command you, but ask you, because I wouldn't command you, sure I wouldn't, you wouldn't do what I tell you anyway. Can I ask you to think about it? Bring your children. It'll do them no harm. Why would you not? We were able to be at Trailblazers and the children didn't have to be in bed before 8 o'clock all last week. So they'll not have to be in bed before 8 o'clock this week either. So bring them and they'll enjoy the film. But they'll begin to see what us husbands and fathers are about, what mothers and what they're about. So can I encourage you please, whether you're young or old, and we'll see if the Lord can maybe impact our hearts. I watched it and it so impacted me that I felt it was a significant thing if we showed it. So please remember that and see if you can pull out all the stops. If you're getting married, cancel it and you can get married next week. If you're taking the wife out for a birthday, just tell her this is more important. You know what I mean? And I'll deal with the counselling afterwards, all right? All right, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 and 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. So this is God's word. Let's give it the respect that is due and let's listen to what God will say. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then over there to 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are ye, or are we, the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. We trust that the Lord will bless that reading of his word to our hearts. You could take every church building in Northern Ireland. You could take every church building in the United Kingdom. And you could take every church building in the whole worldwide and burn the buildings down to the ground, and the church would still exist. You see, folks, the church is not a building. The church is a gathering of God's people from wherever they come. The church, the word church, is ecclesia, which means called out ones. And so to be a member or a part of the church is to have been called out of some place, out of darkness, out of danger, out of wrath, out of death and spiritual death, into the marvelous light and light of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus spoke of building the church, he never took out building contractors. He never engaged an architect. He didn't even buy a plot of land to erect it on. The building that he's interested in is his church, the building and the calling out of his people. And everyone that's born again here tonight is the material for that building. And if you're not born again and you're not saved, you're not part of his church. You're still a stranger. You're still outside the covenant and the commonwealth of God. But if you would hear his voice tonight, if you would sense the convicting and the constraining of the Spirit of God, who is the messenger of heaven, who calls us and inspires us, enlightens us, convicts us, and shows us the light and the love and the liberty and the glory and the majesty and the beauty of Jesus Christ, and causes us to depart from our sin, and you repent from that sin and receive him as your Savior, you become part of one of those building stones in the church of Jesus Christ. Do you want to be part of something big? People join this group and that group, and they aspire to becoming or to being part of something wonderful, and they start movements, and they start this, and they start that. Can I ask you tonight, with real conviction of heart, do you want to be part of something big? Do you want to be part of something eternal? Because the moment that you become part of the church of Jesus Christ, you become something that's majestic and wonderful and marvelous and is in the very heart and in the very plan of God himself, the church of Jesus Christ. I fear very few really know what it means to be part of his church. He's building something that reveals his glory, of people that revel in his grace, those who will relay his message, those that will rejoice in his love, and those that will reside in his will. That's the church, and that's the part that he's calling you to tonight. I want to look very, very simply, and it is going to be very simple, and I'm hoping to give Alexander, Mr. Rob, I'm hoping to give him sufficient time, perhaps, that he'll be able to minister another song to us. But here's the first thing, and you might find it a little bit strange. The people he picks. The people he picks. He says, I will build my church. 1 Peter 2, and mind you, Jesus said, I will build my church in response to Jesus. Peter's response to Jesus saying, who do you think that I am? So Peter got the message when he wrote 1 Peter and 2 Peter. He says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, people who were once nobodies, people who once lived and abided in darkness, but he says he's brought you from darkness into light. He says you are born again of his word. Yeah, and John says you're born again of the Spirit. People who were nobodies became somebodies. When you and I go to the greengrocers, hands up, you now, men, women, keep your hands down. Men, does any of you ever go and do the shopping? Let me see. Come on, you worms. Oh, sorry, you people. Well, I don't know. Do you pick the first thing that you see? Or are you like me, you like to pick over and see which is the freshest? I brought home a melon the other day and the juice was running out of it. I thought that was a nice fresh melon, but seemingly it was overripe. Ladies, hands up those of you who would half rotten. Do you know what maturity means? Do you know what being overripe means? It means it's half rotten. Hands up those of you women who would have brought that melon home. Well, listen, I got it yesterday whenever I got Esther's back turned. I cut the bad bit off. I did. And it was the sweetest, juiciest melon that I've ever ate. And I'll tell you what, even our two rabbits enjoyed it as well. And by the way, Esther's mother, she loved it as well. But we didn't tell Esther that, so don't you? Oh, Esther's here. Whenever we go out to the greengrocers, we like to pick the freshest, the cleanest, the clearest. Whenever you're buying shoes, ladies, do you buy the first old thing you see? I mean, isn't it amazing? Or some of you ladies go out shopping for a new outfit. And you put on this thing, and the keen lady that wants to sell anything, oh, you look gorgeous in that, ma'am. And you know you look like anything but gorgeous, isn't that right? Wouldn't you be a fool to take the very first thing that you see? But isn't it, because we want the freshest, we want the best, we want the brightest, we want the most value, or whatever it might be. But whenever God was picking you and me, he wasn't looking at what you are. He was looking and choosing you for what you had become. For what he could make you into. A royal priesthood. The glory, the bride of Christ. The materials that Jesus chooses for his church is a whole lot different. We have many words that we would describe ourselves by. We use words like glamorous. Oh, isn't she a glamorous lady? Or we would say, isn't he very charming? Or aren't they very intelligent? Or we'd say good-natured, we'd say kind, gentle, smart, hard-working, loving, likable, lovable, sincere. All those wonderful words. Here's another set of words that we could describe people by. Harsh, arrogant, rough, rash, bad-tempered, lazy, ugly, selfish, greedy, vile, and on we could go. But the reality is, there's one word describes both groups, sinners. Sinners. The Bible describes us as dead, defiled, deceived, destitute, defeated. Captives of Satan, slaves to sin, candidates for hell, children of darkness, and reserved for judgment. And it's yet it's this material that he chooses and he uses to build his church that will bring glory and honor to his name. In fact, Paul says in Ephesians 2, when the angels inquire of the wisdom of God, he points to redeemed sinners and he says, there's the wisdom of God. See what I made them to become. That's good news tonight, isn't it? I have nothing to boast on. I have nothing to brag about. I have nothing, no merit to claim to. Oh, I thank God that whenever Jesus came, he didn't come for those that were well and religious. He came for those who were sick, sad, and deceived by Satan and sin. There's a new phenomenon around it nowadays. Has anybody got that wee wheelie bin that's got three compartments on it? And isn't it so complicated? Where do I put the plastic bits? Where do I put the glass? Where do I put the paper? Where do I put the tin foil? Boy, whenever I go out to this, does anybody understand? I totally lost. I need a map to negotiate it. I mean, why didn't they send us a wee pamphlet? But this recycling. Then you go to the recycling. I went to the recycling centre the other day, and isn't it amazing? I think they do this deliberately. They put the bins a mile from each other just to have you run around like a headless chicken. And I was up and down and I was running and I was carrying heavy stuff and lice. And I tell you, I spent an hour in the recycling place. Well, no, all I had was a few bits and pieces in the boot of the car. Do you know, it wasn't the council that first thought of recycling. God was recycling long before man ever thought of it. He says, if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. God finds the meanest, God finds the most deceived, defiled, the most dead and the most darkened, And he takes us, and by a miracle of his grace and the majesty and the wonder of his love, brings us into the fold and the family of God. The world and the flesh and the devil had done everything that it possibly could to suck the very spiritual life and integrity out of our very being. And God in one moment breathes life into us. And we become the children of God. Isn't that great news tonight? The people that he picks. We have sold out to the devil and his ways. We have inherited his nature, his character and his habits. We have become strangers and foreigners to God, bankrupt to any spiritual value or worth. Yet it is with these that God will build his church. And whenever I get to heaven, I'll not say how wonderful I was or how well I did it. I'll not be singing with Frank Sinatra, I got it right tonight. I did it my way. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Here's what Paul says in Colossians 1 and 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his majesty among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's our only claim, folks, tonight, isn't it? Isn't that our only hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sin and Satan in you, and that's the disaster of eternity. But Christ, oh, he is my everything. You should break out in song, shouldn't you? He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. I would be nothing without him. People get all twisted and all into all sorts of doctrines and dogma over the God choosing or choice, whatever. Listen, I like what W.P. Nicholson says. He says, I put myself in for election, and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they elect me. Isn't that wonderful? The people he picks. God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Because, my dear friends, when we get to glory, it'll be all about Christ, not about me, not about you. It'll be about the marvel of his grace, the might of his grace, the majesty of his grace, and the mystery of his grace. It'll be all about grace. God takes dropouts, despots, and destitutes and makes something beautiful out of them. He doesn't pick over the fruit. He picks whatever comes his way. My dear friend, the church is made up of the people that he picks. Notice the price that he paid. It's written there in 1 Peter 2, verses 24 and verse 25. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live on to righteousness, by his stripes, or whose stripes, we are healed. I love that. When I was born dead, spiritually. When I availed of what Christ had done on the cross, in one moment of the application of the finished work of Calvary, I was made a new creature in Christ. Isn't that wonderful news? Why are you so dull tonight? Why are we so laid back? Why are we so, as if we've become so familiar with glorious eternal truths that they pass over our heads? What joy! He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay, and I'll get lost the rest of it. A man wanted to witness for his Lord. Maybe you could try this. So he thought of a novel way to do so. And as he would go through a toll station, you know, they're putting toll roads on the way from here to Dublin. It'll cost you an arm and a leg and a fortune and a mortgage to get to Dublin now. And so he decided that when he'd go through a toll station, he paid for himself and the person behind him. And he gave the person that was manning the toll station a little note. And he said, whenever that person behind me comes and wants to pay, he says, tell him that the man in front of him paid and give him this note. And here's what the message was on that little note. Jesus, our Savior, paid the full toll for your sin. Just as your passage through this toll was paid for you from the man that went before you. Isn't that wonderful? Christ paid the toll. He's the man that went before us. He's our man in glory. There's a book written about it. He bears the marks of the finished work. My dear friend, you need not fear what eternity holds for you. You can put your head on the pillow tonight that it's settled. Isn't that glorious? You can put your head in the pillow. You can get into your car and you can be as careful as you like and not worry about the maniac coming around the road, around the corner, because he has settled your debt. What a price he has paid. I don't know, not sure if there's any half finished work in your life. Many of us have unfinished things cluttering the highway of our life. A half mown lawn. Well, I have two rabbits to do that now. Many have we got half read books, a letter that you've written and never sent, an abandoned diet, a degree we never finished, a to-do list that never gets done. That wouldn't be me. Non-returned call, a job we quit in the fit of an anger, bills never paid and promises never kept. There's only one man that exited this world with all his work done, and that was Christ. He says, it is finished, the battle is over. It is finished, there'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished. Jesus is Lord. This is not glad in your heart tonight. The price is paid. The penalty is met. Have you ever heard of identity theft? We have, haven't we? I noticed... I'm not a fan of Facebook, but I'm on it for one specific reason, to communicate with people. That's what I do. And there was a breach on our security about 18 months ago, and I saw that there were 5 Trevor Galanders using my Facebook. Somebody had stolen my identity. And it's very easy to steal identity. Do you know that Jesus stole your identity even against your will? He assumed your sin. He took your place. And it wasn't to rob you out of anything other than to take your sin and bear it in his own body, says Peter, on that tree. Peter didn't understand it that day. He didn't understand it because he followed the Lord afar off and he denied him in oaths and curses. But whenever Jesus came back again, we understand and we read that he says, tell my disciples, oh, and by the way, make sure you tell Peter because I want him to know I paid his debt. I paid his debt. I died his death. I suffered his agony. And I did it because I love him. Brothers and sisters, men and women, he took your identity and he died in your place and in your stead. Justice demands punishment for sin, and according to the high law of heaven, your debt has been paid in full by the mercy of God and the grace of God. I feel like applauding Jesus. Do you know that? He cancelled our debt by his death on the cross. Here's what Isaac Watts wrote. His dying crimson, like a robe, spreads o'er his body on the tree. Then am I dead to all the world, and all the world is dead to me. The people he picks, the price he paid, the product he presents. Well, Peter has talked about it, 1 Peter 2, verses 5, 9 and 10. Look at it. It says there in verse 5, ye also as lively stones. That's why we have so much trouble in the church, because we're all lively stones. God is bringing us, he's called us from a variety of backgrounds with different views and different opinions, and he says, get into the church and work together. It's easier said than done, isn't it? But nevertheless, He says, aspire, seek to be one united. Because I was explaining to a young couple there not that very long ago. They didn't listen to me, but not that very long ago. I said that if you put Christ in the middle and you get on one side and you get on the other, the closer each one of you come to Christ, the closer you'll be together. The closer we in the church come to Christ, the closer we'll be together. You get that? Here's what Peter says in verses 9 and 10. I've already read them. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Oh, you might have been nobody, nothing. You might have no reputation. You might have no account and no account for yourself. And you mightn't think much of yourself. But the moment Christ gets you, you're a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A peculiar people. Not odd, peculiar. There's a difference between being odd. Some boys are oddballs. It's not about being odd. It's about being peculiar. Different. We don't run with the world. We're not interested in the things of the world. I have no interest in the things of the world, folks. No interest. Peculiar. We stand out from the world. We don't blend in. We don't have to blend in, do we? A peculiar people. Not odd. Peculiar. He goes on. Peculiar people, that you shall show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. People who were nobodies. Look at what Ephesians 5 verses 18 to 20 says. Be not drunk with wine. I want to tell you, dear child of God, I trust that you're filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit is, you're filled with him tonight. Do you know what it means to not be drunk with wine? He says, be under the influence of the Spirit, that you might have the dynamic of God in your life. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And then he tells, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I picked this wee saying up. The church is not ever, church is not nor ever will be another feel good or do good organization. It is a be good organization. It's a be good organization. Have the goodness of God. And have the greatness of God dwelling in me by his Spirit. And he begins to produce the likeness of Christ in my nature and in my character. And the reason that we don't produce the nature and the character of Jesus is bringing down to one thing, disobedience. Disobedience. Do you need to hear another sermon? Do you need to hear another sermon about repentance? I doubt not. Do you need to hear another sermon about forgiveness? I don't think so. No, it's time we started doing something about what we're hearing. About what we're hearing. What blessings are ours? What position is ours? What privilege is ours? Brought from death to life. Born into the family of God. I'll give you a wee 4-point alliteration here, and you can take it down and preach it somewhere if you like. We are a fellowship of his people as the family of Christ. As many as received him, to them give he the right to become the children of God. A reflection of his person, that's the fragrance of Christ. When we shall see him, we shall be like him. A bride for his son, the fiancé of Christ. This is my beloved, or I am my beloved's, and he is mine. And his banner over me is love. A dwelling of his Spirit, the freehold of Christ. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God with your body, which is Christ's. Each week we rub shoulders with people we scarcely know, in a sense. But when we share the same birth in Christ, We are brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? We're brothers and sisters. What a family. Revelation 21, I make all things new. All things new. As I close, are you part of the church of Christ and the church that he's building? Are you? Are you really? Are you really part of that church? Called out of darkness into light? Would you like to be part of this fellowship, this partnership, this gathering? Or are you more part of a social club with no alteration, no separation, no destination, and no transformation? It's only Christ can make the difference. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask Alec to come up and sing us one song, and then we'll sing our closing hymn when Alec is finished. Thank you, Alec. Come on right ahead, please, and minister that song. I trust that Lord has laid something on your heart. Thank you so much for doing that for us.
As I was listening, there was so many songs that I was hearing. But I've settled on this one because there was the word used so many times. And that was the word grace. And this song speaks of God's grace. And it says, my chains are gone. I've been set free. And you know, everyone who is in this church tonight who knows Jesus Christ, it's because of his grace and the fact that he has broken the chains and set us free. And that is why we can gather, because we have been set free. Amazing grace.
As life endures, my chance.
This world will soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are
Thank you very much, Alec. We're going to sing a song together now. Please, the band, come right away. Number 195 on Ice Survey. I sent someone a little message today. They were in church this morning, and we were communicating after the service, as often is the case. And I said, I really, really feel in my heart that we need to be as hot for God as we possibly can, because I believe we're coming into the last days. Christ is coming again. He's coming for the bride, the church. And I don't want to be caught out. I don't want to be caught half-hearted. I don't want to be half-hearted in my worship or my service. I want to be busy for him. Are you busy? You see the empty seats around you? Could you fill them? I wonder if there had been some people in the gathering tonight that you had invited, would they have come to Christ? Have you invited anyone? Let's get busy because of what he has done for us. If you've never been saved, let this song impact your heart as Alec has ministered to us somewhere in the same vein. We'll stand and sing When I Survey. Thanks, Amy.
Oh,
cappello, see from his head, and we'll sing just a cappella without music. Just give us the first key again, first chord, and we'll sing from there. Thank you.
See from his head.
Father, we pray that you'll cause us to leave this place with those notes, those sentiments, those principles, Lord, ringing through our ears, through our heart, Lord, permeating our very experience, our very thought life, Lord, determining our very actions and activities and decisions and choices that we'll make. Dear God, we pray that you'll bring Christ in all his reality and the suffering that he met on our behalf, that not one of us, Lord, will leave this place untouched or unchanged for your glory and your glory alone, we pray. In Christ's name, and everybody said, Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.